Kazi Lee. Let's play for Kazi Lee.
Wonderful day. Looking forward to what the Lord has in store for us this evening. Just want to praise His holy name. Praise God. Let's all stand if you can. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer as we open up our service. Praise the Lord. If you have a prayer request, just show by the raising of your hand. God knows and sees each and every one. I know there are a lot of special requests that's going out. I know there are those that are having procedures this week, surgery. And I'm not going to mention names. I'm always leery. I'll miss one or forget one, but we all know who they are. And just don't forget those special prayer requests there and also in our prayer box as we talk about this morning as Brother Eddie was preaching. But let's all just remember our nation too as we go to the Lord in prayer. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise your holy name. Lord, we thank you for allowing us to gather in your house and in your name. Dear Lord, we ask now that you'll let your Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, just have a free reign amongst us this evening as we open this service. Dear Lord, may we be in one mind and one accord, dear Lord, ready to receive your word, ready to receive your spirit, dear Lord, and let you just minister to each and every one of us. Dear Lord, now as we prepare, you saw the hands that were raised. Dear Lord, you know what's on our hearts and on our mind. And dear Lord, we're lifting up to you right now. We thank you. We want to praise you in advance, dear Lord, for your healing, for your protection, for your encouragement, for being with us through procedures, dear Lord, for those that are going through therapy right now. Lord, we're looking forward to hearing other great testimonies of how you're healing, how you're taking care of each and every folks, dear Lord. And dear Lord, we're now praying for our nation. We ask, dear Lord, for that unity, but that unity in your name, dear Lord, that we'll be one nation under God, under you, my Lord. Jesus, we love and praise you. We give you all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. And we all say,
amen,
amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's give him a hand clap. Hallelujah. Good to see some of y'all this evening. Haven't seen you in a while. It's really exciting as we all join together to worship the Lord. While you're standing, turn to page 333. I'll Fly Away. You may be seated if you can. I kind of look out in the congregation. It's like we're tilted a little bit to this side. I see a crowd. Y'all need to hold up your end over here. Praise the Lord. We're going to get all the amens from over here this evening. Watch it. Watch it. Praise God. I hear it. Amens already. Just really looking forward to what the Lord has in store for us. And just been really a wonderful, beautiful day God has given us. Well, every day is beautiful. Every day the Lord gives us. We're so blessed. So blessed. We're going to go ahead and take up our evening offering. Then we'll have an opportunity to call on some special singers. Again, just want to ask everybody, remember our ministries, our food closet. If you have something you'd like to donate, whether it be the dry goods that you'd like to donate or a monetary offering that you'd like to give to the food closet, please know that you can just note it on your envelope. And also our Overcomers Outreach, want to continue to keep them in our prayers. They meet every Thursday. Have a ladies and a men's group now. God is just continuing to bless. There's always, you never know. All it takes is just mentioning it one time or here. Just like talking about the Lord. Just let them know that Jesus loves them. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Brother Jim, if you'd ask the Lord to bless our evening offering, please.
Dear Heavenly Father, we're so grateful and thankful for the Lord that having let us come back to this house tonight to worship the Lord. We just give the Lord this worship and praise you. The Lord, we just ask you now to praise this service.
Yes, Lord. Amen. Amen. Jim, if you'd go ahead and make your way up this way, please. And then Sister Linda. Then after her, Sister Karen, please.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. This morning, Brother Eddie, in his message, he was talking and one part of his message, you know, he said, you know, we are faced with so many headaches and trials today with things going on around us. He said, but you know, there's one good thing. He said, if we're born again Christians, we're children of God, he's got a place for us. And that's what we look forward to.
Amen.
No matter what we're faced with day to day, you know. What's the doctor say? Take an aspirin and go home, right? The Lord says, take a kneel. Embrace me. I've got it under control. And that's all it is, you know. So, listen to the song. It talks about going home. Start again. Number 11. Peace in the valley.
Praise the Lord.
Huh? Save something else. You got it? Okay. There we go. That'll be it.
be changed. Changed from this creature that I am. Oh, yes.
Sing it with me.
There will be peace in the valley. For me, someday there will be peace in the valley. For me, oh Lord, I pray. There will be no sadness, no sorrow, no trouble. Trouble I see. There will be peace in the valley for me. For me.
Amen. I like changing the word from me to you because you got the peace as well as I do. God bless you.
Glad you know the Lord. Hallelujah. We will have that peace one day, won't we? Yes, we will, because there's no peace down here, but we will have it once we get up there to be with Him. Y'all worship the Lord. And keep in mind tonight that you are a child of the King. You are a child of the King. Worship the Lord as I try to sing.
Once I was clothed in the rags of my sin, wretched and poor, lost and lonely within, but with wondrous compassion this King of all kings, in pity and love, He took me under His wing. Oh yes, oh yes, I'm a child of the King. His royal blood now flows through my veins, and I, who was wretched and poor, now can sing.
Tonight. Hallelujah.
Now I am a child with a heavenly home. Why, my holy Father has made me His own, and I'm washed by His blood, and I'm clothed in His love. Sing, oh, with the angels above. Oh, yes, oh, yes, I'm a child of the King. His royal blood now flows in my veins, and I, who was wretched and poor, now can sing. Child of the King. Oh yes, oh yes, I'm a child of the King. His royal blood now flows through my veins, and
Sister Karen, if you would, please. And while she comes up, Miss Tabitha has been asked if you could do a song for us tonight.
Two feet without assistance, but I've come a long way. At least I'm not having to crawl up my stairs on my knees and having to. Gabe is not a morning person. Okay, he likes to sleep in, and I'd have to call him and say, can you come help Mom? Because he literally, for me to go down the stairs, he would have to lay me down, and then I'd have to scoot down the stairs. So his poor back. But thank God, I'm just trusting the Lord that my foot doesn't look good at all, but I'm trusting God that it's going to be better.
Amen.
I love this song, and I was thinking about it today, the goodness of God. No matter what I'm facing, God has always been faithful to me. So y'all worship with me tonight.
I've been held in your hands from the moment that I wake up until I lay my head. Oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Goodness of God.
done for us. I'm so thankful for the goodness of God. Amen.
Amen. Again, I've just got to ask that question. Has God blessed you? Do you understand the goodness of God? Do you understand what He's doing in our lives each and every moment? I think He deserves that applause that we need to give Him right now. Listen to all if you can. Just praise His holy name. Praise God.
Amen. I will sing of the goodness of God. Amen. Every day of my life, He has been so, so good. Amen. I love that song and I love its meaning. And I love God's goodness, His grace, and His mercy. A very special treat for you tonight. We have a young man that's going to be bringing the message tonight. I live next door to this young man, and we spend quite a lot of time together. And he's just a very humble and sincere man of God. So, Brother Tony, come, take your liberty in the Lord tonight. Bring us what the Lord has laid upon your heart. Amen.
Well, praise the Lord. It's good to be here tonight. It's always good to be in the house of God. Got so many papers in here. I want to start off tonight. I don't know if this is on up, but I want to start off tonight asking you, has anybody in here ever just been hurt, ever just been broken, ever just been beat down, ever just been struggling, ever been to a point in their life where they're like, all right, God, I can't take no more. You're going to have to help me out. You're going to have to do something because I can't take it no more. Well, I know we face different things in our life. Everybody faces something different. Everything's harder on different people. But tonight I have felt for... I told Karen another night, I said, usually Brother Eddie asked me to preach, and then I'll be praying, oh God, you got to give me something. Come on now, come on. But I told her, I said, the other night, I just felt like God's been dealing me with something. And I said, it won't be long next time I get to preach. I said, I just feel like God's been dealing with me. Well, lo and behold, Brother Eddie, it wasn't a day later. And Karen was like, careful what you ask for. So... But I want to know tonight, is anybody in here ready for restoration? Is anybody in here ready to be restored? I feel like God's ready to restore some people. I feel like the devil's took enough, he's done enough, and it's time for a restoration. I want to start out in Psalms chapter 46. And I know you may be wondering how this ties into restoration, but hopefully with the good Lord's help, we can get there. Psalms 46, I'm going to read the first three verses. It says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. If you would bow your heads, Brother Eddie, would you mind?
Heavenly Father, thank you so much, God, that you are a refuge. You are a very present help in time of trouble. Father, I thank you for your blessing, for your anointing tonight. I pray, God, that you would touch Brother Tony, God, touch his lips of clay tonight. God, to speak to us that we need to hear from heaven. Father, help us to be submissive and obedient to your will and to your word. And we ask these blessings.
Amen, amen. Thank you for standing for the reading of God's Word. I try to, now that they do the Facebook Live stuff, they get a scripture back there, and I'm usually bad about giving them scripture because sometimes I get up here and it'll change, and I'm like, man, I done give them the wrong stuff. So, but tonight I'd like to, if I could, with the help of God, bring a message called Refuge Through the Restoration. Now, restoration is a process. If you've ever restored anything, you know it's a process. It's not something that goes quick. It doesn't matter what it is. I got an uncle and some guys I work with that's restored cars, and it's taken years and years. The only restoration I have really done is in our laundry room. I've tried to restore it. It's not a very big laundry room. It should have been done months and months ago. I'm not a dog, really don't know too much, but I'm willing to give anything a shot. I had a brother at church tell me, he was like, hey, you was talking about that, because I was going to lay some tile on the floor. I was like, I ain't never done that. He was like, hey, I'll come over and help you. We'll get it knocked out, no problem. I bet he don't ask to come over and help no more. So he was laughing about it earlier too. So one thing I learned through restoration is I tore the some we had like if you get with me, I'm gonna get to the word, but we got to where the way they had done the house, the water lines come in and go up to the washer and dryer. Well, it was not insulated at all. The only vent that comes through there is in the top, and they bust probably a couple times, and I've had to cut the wall and patch it, you know, and I'm not a sheetrock man by no means, so I've patched this and patched that, and finally took care, and I was like, I'm going to redo this. We're going to redo the laundry room. I'm going to redo. Karen loves the shiplap stuff. Well, I got looking at shiplap boards and all. I'm like, man, these things are expensive. But you can get a piece of plywood and cut it down and make it look like shiplap. So that's what we've done. But this side of the wall, I was like, I'm not having this where I have to pull off sheetrock if the water pipe busts. I redone the water lines. Luke come over and helped me. We learned that there's a blue and a red water line you can use. You do not glue those. You have to use a sharp bite. One of the lessons I've learned. Luke left and Kylie was washing a load of clothes. Everything looked good. I was in the living room and Kylie was like, come running in there. It was like, the washroom's flooded. I'm like, oh my Lord. So I run in there. Lo and behold, it had come out. You have to use a sharp bite on them. Don't glue them. It's a lesson. That was just one of the lessons I've learned. Well, Brother Sean came over and was going to, he was helping me do the shiplap stuff. He was showing me the tile on the floor. So we get one more board, and it's loose. And I'm like, man, that's the last board, but it's loose. We've nailed all up through here. Well, I go to put a nail in it. All of a sudden, you hear, water's coming out of the wall. I'm like, where did that come from? So, I'm like, oh my, take off running back downstairs, cut the water off. Luckily, we cut a hole in the wall, so we see where it was coming out. So, it was an easy fix. I'm like, man, thank God that wasn't too bad. Well, we get all this done. We're like, we're just going to leave these boards off and let the wall dry. So, he said, well, I'll show you how to do this floor because it's getting kind of late. Well, where they got it stubbed up where you could put a sink. It's all old pipe. You know, I'd replace the pipe going down, but I didn't replace it. Well, we're about a quarter of the way through the floor on the tile. You know, he's putting the mud and tile, and I'm doing is cutting it, really. He's letting me feel like I'm apart. Well, I'm like putting it down with him, and I go to stand up, and I hit the water line out for the sink. And it soaks all back through here. And he was over here with his back turned, and he thought I'd hit the valve, which I thought I did too. It wasn't the valve. It broke off completely. All he heard was like, oh my God, and I took off running again, soaking wet. So I get down there and get the water cut off. By the time I get back up there, I mean, they've done got the shop vac handy now because the water everywhere stuck it up. And I'm like, it was like probably about 8:40 or so. I was like, what time does Home Depot close? He's like, I think 9, so I fly to Home Depot. It was New Year's Day. They closed at 8 that day. I was like, so they say, we just did a night without water, and it was okay. We could handle it. We got some good neighbors that would let us come up there. So finally, I get that the next morning. I get everything. I get that replaced, and I get the boards done, and he still perseveres through it all. I come back, and he's still with the tile going to tail on this side, you know, my man, he's a champ. He's going to town. Well, one thing I've learned through the restoration is it's a process. I've learned that it takes time. I've learned it's something that's not rushed. If you are a builder, Brother Lynn, probably could have had this done in, I don't know, a day or so. It's been going on for a couple months now because I'll come home from work and work a little, and then I'll come home from work and work a little. I'll get everything set up, which takes 20, 30 minutes, and by the time you get started, and kids got to go to dance or something, you have to go get something. So, But I've enjoyed the process. I've enjoyed the learning. And I'm a trial by error person. I always have been. Just, you got YouTube videos and all now, but then you've life called Brother Lynn before and like, hey, this don't look real good. And he'll give me pointers. But that's the way I've always been, just kind of trial by error. But I've learned through this process that it takes time. It's not something that happens overnight. Well, when I was sitting here, I can't remember who was preaching, but I can remember sitting here and thinking of a restoration. And I was thinking about how God is ready to restore His people, where God is ready to restore His church. That we have faced enough and we have been beat down and we have been torn down and we have had enough of the world just pressing down on us. He's had enough of the world just beating down on us, telling us that we're not good enough, we're not worthy enough, that I feel like the devil has just come at us at every angle he can come. And I feel like we have sat back and we've watched and we've let him. I feel like we have become... One thing is, when did we as Christians become so sensitive? I myself, well, they didn't shake my hands, well, they didn't speak to me, well, they didn't look at me, well, they didn't talk to me. I don't know what they've been facing and going through in their life, but you know what? It was an excuse I could use that would help myself feel better. Because as long as I can justify, as I've said before, as long as I can justify what I feel, then I'm okay. It don't matter what the Word says when I can justify my feelings. But you see, when you live in this flesh, you can justify anything you want to, but it doesn't matter. And I'll never have the restoration if I continue to live and try to follow after the flesh. I can see what God wants to do in my life because He'll direct my path. But if I want to live in the flesh and I want to have my little pity party that someone didn't talk to me, they made fun of me, they hurt my feelings, they don't like me, they didn't speak, whatever it may be, then I can use that if that's what I want to. And I can use that, well, I don't fit in at the church. Well, I don't fit in with these people. Well, they got to have your hair parted. Well, you got to have a certain suit on, a certain tie on, a certain... None of that matters to God. He don't care what you wear. He don't care if you're up here barefooted preaching or if you ain't got a jacket, if you ain't got a tie. He don't care if you brush your hair in the mornings. God cares about our heart. That's what He's wanting to see. That's what He's wanting, is He's wanting us to give us our hearts. Just like David was a man after God's own heart. He didn't care about the statue of the other brothers. You know, Samuel was looking, he was like, well, it's got to be this one, got to be this one, got to be this one. Well, no, it wasn't, because God knew who he had in the field. He wanted that heart that David had. David was a man after God's own heart, and that's where I want to be. And if I ever want the restoration of my life, then that's where I've got to be. You know, when we first got saved, I was on fire for God. I wanted to tell everybody. I wanted everybody to know what God had done for me. I want them to know that He saved my soul. I want them to know that He touched my life. When God moves and delivers, I want people to know, but then I just fizzle out. What the brother say the other time you preach, the wood must be wet. And that's the problem. That's my problem. I'm not going to tell you what yours is. That's my problem. Is I let my wood get wet, and I get comfortable in my life. I get comfortable with my routines because I like a routine. I like getting up at the same time, going to work, coming home. It's the same routine. It's just a creature of habit. It's what I do. We have recently moved to a new location at our job. And I can't tell you how many times, creature of habit, I've just turned like I'm going. I'm like, oh, whoa, 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 I can't go that way no more. It's just creature of habit. It's just you wanting to follow where your habit tells you. But you see, if I want to follow my habits and I want to follow what I want, then I'll never have the restoration God's got in store for me. I'll never have His promises. I'll never have His deliverance. I'll never have His strength. Why? Because I want to follow after me. You see, I want God to do things, but I want God to do them on my time. I don't want to wait on His time. His timing is perfect. My timing is not. But when I'm praying to Him, God, I need this right now. And you know what? Restoration takes time. So we got to sit back. If you've been going through some stuff, if you've been facing trials, I don't care if it's been a month or if it's been years. God is telling somebody here tonight, I'm going to restore what you've lost. I'm going to restore. The definition of restoration. The definition of restoration is to bring back to or put back into a former or original state. Well, you know what? I don't want to go into my original state that I was when I was a sinner, but I want to go into that former state when I was saved, when I first got saved and when I was on fire, because I want that. That's what I want my life to be. And when I walk by people, I want to say, there is something different about that guy right there. There is something about him. He's on fire for God. That's all he talks about. And I don't care if they get tired of hearing about it. I want to be that example. I want to be that person. I want to be on fire for him. Why? Because I want him to restore me. I want the restoration. I'm tired of living in the same beat down life as spiritually. I'm tired of letting the devil win the battles and just giving him everything we got. I'm tired of letting him come in and then he just beat me down and then me just finally giving up. I'm not going to give up anymore. I'm sick of it because I got to hold on to get the restoration. Because God wants to restore you. He wants to restore your life. God wants to restore your life. God wants to lift you up. He wants to encourage you. He wants to give you back everything that you've lost. But we got to submit our lives unto Him. We got to give our all to Him. God doesn't want part of you, Brother Chris. He just don't want part of you when you got time. And that's my problem. I want to give Him my all when it's convenient for me. I don't want to give Him my all when it's a sacrifice for me. You see, I want Him to work on my time and to get what I give Him when I want to give Him. Oh yeah, I want to be completely sold out here at church, but then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday before night, and then Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, then you know I want to be able to do what I want to do. And God can understand that. God can understand. I mean, He lived in the flesh. He knows. But it's not right. That's not how I need to be. I need to be 100% whole. Well, how I live right here is how I should be living my entire life, the entire week. One thing I always admired about Brother Eddie, it always stood out to me, even when we first started coming, first started dating Karen and going out to eat with them, going to their house. After we got married, we've been on vacations together. We've been hunting, fishing. I mean, but he was the same no matter what. He was the same wherever we went. And that stood out to me because there's so many times that I've not been that person. I've been the type of person that's selfish. I've been the type of person that's been angry. I've been the type of person that has hurt people's feelings. I've been the type of person to run people down. I've been the type of person that I've not wanted to be before. I don't want to be that type of person. But you know what? I've let the devil use me. I've let him use me, and I sit back and I wonder, well, so-and-so hurt my feelings, or they didn't say what I wanted them to say. And the thing about it is, I look back, how many times have I been that person? How many times have I been the person that's run somebody down? How many times have I been the person that's been a discouragement instead of encouragement? How many times have I been the person that stole somebody's blessing from them instead of me living like I should have and them getting blessed for it? How many times have I been the person that I just don't want to be? Why? Because I get living in this flesh. I get living how I want to instead of how God tells me to. But you see, there's a process in restoration. It's a commitment, and it takes time. One thing it does is it teaches you sometimes to just be still and know that I'm God. When Moses was called and he seen the burning bush, he's like, God, who should I say sent me? He said, I am. I am. If you get to know I am, then when somebody says, I am, whew, buddy, you talking about a moving and a stirring in your spirit. He says, I am, sent me. You don't got to give them no big, long explanation. You just let them know, I am. I am the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. I am the deliverer. I am the healer. I am the encourager. I am the restorer. Because I'm here to tell you, there's people, and it may just be for me. God may have just been dealing with me and nobody else. But I have felt like God has just wanted to restore His church. He's wanting to restore His people because we keep getting beat down and we keep getting torn down and we keep getting pulled away. One thing I've learned is that God's got a purpose for your life. And either you're going to go His way or your way. I promise if you go His way, it's going to go better. Because if you run and go your way, you're eventually going to come back to His way. You see, Ananias, God told him, Ananias, I want you to go pray for Saul. And he was like, Lord, do you realize who you want me to pray for? I mean, you realize what he is sent for. I mean, he's got letters saying this is what he can do. It ain't like he's just a wild cowboy out doing it by himself. He's sent for this. He's going to kill the Christians and imprison them, God. God said, He is a chosen vessel unto me. And I have told the children's church, I have told the teenagers, and I'm sure I have said it up here, that you are a chosen vessel for God. Each and every one of your lives is important. Nobody's life is more important than the next. But each and every one of you are important. God has got a purpose for you. You may think that you're going through life and you ain't got a purpose or not a care in the world. But I'm telling you, you are affecting other people's lives everywhere you go. Every day, every move you make, every word you say, you are affecting other people's lives. But he said, he is a chosen vessel unto me. And you see what God done with his life. There's nobody too bad. There's nobody too far gone that God can't heal, that God can't deliver, that God can't bring back, that God cannot restore. There's people I've talked to have been like, I have just done so much wrong. It don't matter. Because that blood that was shed on the cross will cover a multitude of sins. When I think I've been, I want to say, too bad, or I think my life has pulled me away from where God wants me, then I try to read Psalms 51. Psalms 51 is an amazing psalm. Nathan coming to David. When David, remember we talked earlier, was a man after God's own heart. Well, David had slept with Bathsheba. He had sent her husband out on the front lines after his little plan to get him home didn't work out. He sent him out on the front lines and killed him. Now, this is a man after God's own heart. This isn't a man that was just sitting on the side of the street. This was a king. This was a man who God chose. He messed up. And he come in, he told him. And David lost a son because of it. But David poured his heart out to God in Psalms 51. David was a man who could repent like nobody else. If you read his Psalms and you see the trust and the faith he had in God, if I could only have that much. In verse 1 it says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me throughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and the hidden parts thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sin and blot out all mine iniquity." Let me go to number 8 where it says, "Make me to hear joy and gladness." When you're at a point and you're going through the restoration, you may feel like God's given up on you. You may feel like there's no joy to be had in your life. There is no happiness that's to be had in your life. Has anybody in here ever felt, God's left me? There's no joy, there's no happiness, and they've been miserable in their life. Just miserable no matter what they've done, no matter what they've seen, no matter what they did. It's just a miserable life. David said, "Make me to hear joy and gladness." David knew the Lord, and he knew what he had done, and he knew it was wrong. And David, like I said, could repent like nobody else. But I've had to get on my knees before and be like, "Lord, please let me hear your joy and gladness. Restore unto me, God, that happiness that I had in you, that I have lost because I have given to the devil, because I have given to the circumstances in my life, because I've given up and took my eyes on God because I thought I could fix everything. I thought I could handle it all, just like David did. David said, well, I'll fix this problem and I'll handle it. Well, he did, and you see where it got him. And I've done the same thing in my life. God, I can handle this. This is too small for you. Don't worry about it. I got it. You just sit tight. And I have found myself in some of the worst messes that I've ever had in my life because I've told him, you just sit tight. I got this. Now, I'm thankful His Word says I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'm thankful that He doesn't leave me. I'm thankful that He doesn't forsake me. And then when I finally turn back and be like, God, I cannot handle this. I cannot do it. I don't care how big or how small it is. I can't do it without you. Then He's sitting right there waiting. And I'm sure in my mind He's saying, well, I wonder how long it'd take you to get back over here. Come on and let's do it my way and you'll see how it's going to work out. But He'll restore unto you that joy and the gladness, that the bones which I have broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. That's one of my favorite verses of this whole chapter. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. I felt like God has blessed my life. He has filled me with the Holy Ghost. But I felt like I am so unworthy to be able to even pray to Him, to be able to praise Him, to be able to lift Him up, especially to be able to stand up here and speak to people like you. I feel like I am the most unworthy person in the world to be able to do that. So for God to give me an opportunity to be able to do this, I never want to let Him down. But I do. I let Him down all the time. And I pray, God, please create in me a clean heart and renew that right spirit within me, Lord. You see, the devil will do anything he can to pull you away. He knows what gets you. He knows what pulls you away. And he knows what bothers you. So he's going to do what he can, while he can, to destroy you if he can. Do you not think that he would love to have your children? Do you not think he would love to have your grandchildren? Do you not think he would love to destroy your life and to tear you down? That's exactly what the devil wants to do. That's his job. That's what he does every day. He's trying his best to tear you away, to tear your family away. And if he can tear your kids away and it tears you away, then that's what he wants. But we've got to be that rock. We've got to be that one that stands still and hold on to what God has promised us. If God has promised you something, don't give up on it. I don't care if it seems like it's been 4 or 5 years and it's not come to pass. God has said, don't give up on my word, because I'm not giving up on my promises. God said, I will not give up on my promises. I will hold strong and I will hold true. You just have to wait for His timing. I know it's hard. It's hard to hold on to things. God, you promised me this. Look at Abraham. 25 years later, God gave him a kid after He promised it to him. But God was true to His promise. If God told you something, He is true. Do not give up on it. The devil wants you to give up. He wants you to tell you that, hey, don't worry about it. It's already been too long. God's forgotten. But God hadn't forgotten you. God has not forgotten your prayers. God has not forgotten His promises, because He's not like us. I can set a cup of coffee down and go pick Trace clothes out for church and come back and not remember where I have put the coffee. I've had to retrace every room in the house. When I get older, I told Karen, it's going to be terrible. I'm going to have to leave notes or something on the walls where I put stuff. But God is not like us. He does not forget His promises. So hold on to what God's promised you, because He's not going to quit. We can't. It's up to us to hold on. You see, one other thing about restoration is it takes persistence. You have got to be persistent. No matter how many water lines you bust, keep going on. Eventually you'll bust them all. They'll all be replaced. Is the way I've seen it. Every time I come in there, Karen's like, what's the matter? I'll be running through the house shutting the water off. She just got used to it. The other day we was talking about something. I was telling her, she was like, sometimes I'd rather you just don't even tell me and then just say, okay, ta-da, the room's done. So maybe in a year or so we'll be able to get that room done and it'll be all right and I can tell her that. But it takes persistence. Everything don't go as you had planned. Everything don't always work out. But how do you handle yourself when these situations arise? Do you turn to God? Do you give Him the problem? Water lines busting to me, it just makes me sick at my stomach, because then I'm laying in bed at night like, all right, Lord, please don't let that thing go out tonight while we're laying in the bed and I wake up and every floor is flooded. But how do you handle the situations? I always try when I'm telling Karen something like that, I'm always trying to be like, don't worry, it's just a water line. That ain't nothing to fix. One night we had the night that it had come unglued and busted everywhere. Her and I was actually going to go out on a date night. We had to take Katie to a party and we was going to go get something to eat. So I get it all vacuumed up and it's apart. The water's off. It's vacuumed up. We're good. I know how to fix it. And I actually had the parts at home. Katie's got to be somewhere. So we took Katie and I'm like, where are we going to go? What do you want to eat? And she's like, I just want to get something and go home so you can fix that pipe. I was like, why? I got the stuff on. She's like, what if you don't? And then it closes. She's like, I cannot. She said, I cannot go enjoy sitting down eating somewhere knowing that the water's off at the house. And if we don't get it fixed, it'll be off for a day. She didn't have faith in me. Now, 9 times out of 10, I understand. This one time, I actually, because I busted so much, when I'd go, I'd just buy a couple of whatever. So I actually had a couple pieces and fixed it. I was like, see, I looked good that time. I was like, see, that wasn't a problem. I told you, it wasn't even 10 minutes, I had it fixed. I was like, thank God I had that stuff. But needless to say, we went by Arby's or somewhere and we come home and eat it and we didn't go out. So, but how do you handle the problems when they arise? How do you handle yourself? I've learned that people watch you. My job, if I profess to be a Christian, people's watching me. And when troubles arise and things happen, how do I handle myself? Can I keep myself together? I've always tried to pride myself in being someone who can keep myself together. Not always held up to that. I have let that go and let that down. But how do we handle these situations? You know, the devil's going to tell you that you don't have a purpose. The devil's going to tell you that if you were following God, everything would go smooth for you. But apparently you're out of the will of God. That's why you're facing these trials. Can I tell you about a man named Joseph, whose brother sold him into slavery? This man wasn't out of the will of God, but his brother sold him into slavery. He went to Potiphar's house, built himself up a good name. Well, it was ruined. Now, did he do wrong? No, he suffered for doing right. He was moved into the prison. He got moved high up in the prison. I think it was the baker and the cupbearer come down there. He interpreted their dreams. He told the cupbearer, you'll be restored unto the Pharaoh. When you do, remember me. 2 years later, Pharaoh was looking for somebody to interpret his dreams. And the cupbearer was like, oh, completely forgot. There's a guy in the prison that told me to remember him a couple years ago. He can interpret your dreams. You see, if you go through Joseph and you follow his trail and you live with Joseph, how many times would we have just give up and said, all right, fine, God, I'm tired of living for you. I try to do good. I try to do what's right. I try to live the best I can, and it seems like I just keep one after another. I keep facing things. I can't do it no more, God. I quit. I give up. Joseph would have died in the prison. So if you feel that you've given everything to God and you continue to try to live for Him and you keep facing trials and you keep facing situations and you keep feel like you're beaten down, don't give up. God has got a plan for your life. God has got a purpose for you. Even though it feels like it's hard, even though it feels like I can't make it through this, God, know that there is refuge in the restoration. Because you see, in Psalms 46, it says, God is our refuge and strength. Do you know what a refuge is? Refuge is a condition of being safe are sheltered from pursuit, danger, or trouble. You will never be safer than when you're under the wings of God. He's going to take care of you. He didn't give out this scripture. David wrote this. He didn't give this out just to throw it out somewhere. He gave it out because he wanted you to know, I will comfort you. I will shelter you. I will strengthen you. Right now, we're facing a lot through this world. I don't turn the TV on hardly. We definitely don't watch news. I have no social media. But there's so much stuff going on right now. I'm telling you, you either got to follow this or you either got to follow this. And either way, you're wrong and something's going to happen to you. But I'm here to tell you that if you will do your best and you will follow this, it don't matter what happens down here. Because this is temporary. This is our home. And as a kid, I couldn't understand that, and I didn't see that. I was like, no, it's not right here. It's our home, you know. But I see now that God's saying, this is temporary. Touch as many lives as you can. Try to get as many souls saved as you can. That's your goal while you're here on earth. Live the best you can for me. Encourage people. Lift them up. Let them know that there's somebody that loves them. Let them know that they're not unlovable. Let them know that they're not going to go through things by themselves, that I'm going to be with them. I'm going to encourage them. I'm going to strengthen them. I'm going to protect them. I'm going to be with them. You're going to face things in the life, and it's going to be hard. But to know that we got a shelter in the arms of God. It says, therefore we will not fear though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. I will not be removed from God. I will seek Him. I will follow Him. I will do everything I can to lift Him up. Tonight, it wasn't very long, but I felt God telling me that there are people I want to restore in this church. They don't have to face their trials and troubles alone. They don't have to feel like they've been beaten. They don't have to feel like they've been broken. They don't have to feel like there's no hope, because there is refuge in the restoration. Restoring is a process and it takes time. That's one thing I've learned more than anything, is it's a process and it takes time. But understand, God's promises never fail. God's promises will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. And if He said it, then He meant it. He will not back out on it. He cannot and will not break His promises. If you're facing things in this life, you're facing trials right now, if you need a restoration, if you need to be encouraged, if you need to be uplifted, God is here tonight for you. Amen. God is here to be what you need. If we could, I hate to ask, especially with the sister being wounded, but would you please come sing that song again? When she started singing it, I love that song. And I just felt God just, you ever feel Him just flow through you? And I was like, Lord, have mercy. And I just felt it. And if we could, while she sings a song, if we can just bow our heads and pray and know that God is here to restore you, He will encourage you, He will strengthen you, and He will uplift you.
Amen.
And He will 100% restore you to what we've let the devil take away.
I've been held in Your hands from the moment that I wake up until I lay my head. Oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. You have
Thank you.